This is a conversation for the kids who had to raise themselves, who had to take on an adult role much too early in life as a consequence of various circumstances. It could have been, you know, financial issues, divorce, living with a single parent, any form of abuse or neglect, unhealthy role models, absent role models. Even if both of your parents are in your life, even if you grew up in a two-parent household, it doesn't necessarily mean that the dynamics of the relationship between yourself and your parents or between your parents was necessarily healthy. I think we've all come to realize just how significant the relationship we share with our parents and our childhood experiences are and how they impact us in our daily lives. It influences the way we think, how we perceive situations, the way we perceive ourselves. It influences our behaviors, the choices we make, our morals, what we believe to be right and wrong, what we value, who we value, how we value these things. It all goes back to childhood, how you were taught to love, how love was expressed to you. This episode is dedicated to not only you guys, but also to my inner child. Be sure to follow the podcast on whatever listening platform you are on. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and so many other listening platforms. They will all be linked down below. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at @TCardPodcast and Instagram @TransparencyCard. We are starting a visual podcast segment, which will be available on YouTube. Just subscribe to my channel, Chrissy Stevens, CRISSYSTEVENS, so you can see behind the scenes clips, see full episodes, actually, you know, get a taste of what I'm like physically, I guess, learn about and get to know my guests that I have on. And it's a good fun time over there. So definitely go subscribe and do not forget to drop a rating if you enjoyed the podcast today's episode. And yeah, thank you guys. And let's get back into this episode. The purpose of today's episode is not to cast blame on anyone. No one is being put on trial here. The intention of this episode is to, one, become aware of and acknowledge our pain and our trauma. Two, to better understand ourselves. Three, to better understand our parents and to extend empathy to them. And four, to let go through forgiveness. I think most of us have battled with a sort of tumultuous relationship dynamic with our parents. And if that's not the case for you, that's amazing. And I'm so happy for you. And I don't think that makes your life, you know, any easier, but I do think that that is such a blessing. But from what I've gathered through speaking to not only my friends, but just like random people that I've encountered in everyday life, we're all to some degree traumatized or pained by things that have happened in our childhood, by the relationship dynamic between our parents, the relationship dynamic we share with our parents, external factors that affected our parents that inadvertently affected us. And so that's why today's conversation, it isn't about right and wrong, and it isn't about placing blame on anyone. It's about understanding. It's about seeing eye to eye with the people who we used to praise as our superheroes, who we consider to be our role models, who we idolized as children. And now as we've gotten older and we're now in our 20s and we find ourselves navigating a similar path as far as being in our 20s as our parents did, we find ourselves experiencing what growing up is. I think it's impossible to not be empathetic towards our parents. The other day, I came across an interview between Noisy, who is a sort of holistic therapist, like a spiritual healer, and he's pretty popular. He tends to interview high-profile individuals. I came across a conversation between Noisy and the rapper Joey Badass. It's weird because when I saw like the thumbnail for this video, I was like, I just feel this urge to watch this video. I don't know why, but I'm drawn to this. So I'm watching the episode and Joey Badass is going into details of his childhood. He talks about the fact that when he was younger, he pretty much had to teach himself everything that he knew. He found himself alone a lot, and music was sort of like an escape for him from the pain of isolation. And Noisy then asks him about his relationship with his mother. And he's like, why were you alone so much? And Joey Badass is like, well, you know, my mom, she was a single mom. She was always working. She wouldn't get home until like 8 or 9 p.m. By then, like, I'd be in bed and then like have to go to school the next morning. You know, so he's kind of like avoiding like Noisy's question about his relationship with his mother. And Noisy's like, no, we need to stay with this. Noisy's like, you have this incredible career, and that's amazing because you're so young. I believe he's like 23. I'm not sure, but he's really young and he's accomplished like so much. And Noisy's like, but it obviously stems from your work ethic. It stems from, you know, obviously like a place of passion, but you do have this insane drive and work ethic. And it's almost like you're running away from something. And Joey Badass is like, well, growing up, you know, I started working at a really young age. I started working like at 16 or 17 to help my mom pay the bills. Like, and Noisy's like, I don't think you ever got to be a child. When he said that, guys, I stopped the video immediately. Like, I paused it and my eyes just filled with tears. And I was like, that really hit me. Like, I felt that statement to my core. And I was like, wow. Here's this guy who's so successful, right? Like, from the outside looking in, he has all of these awards, all of this money. This 23-year-old kid who seems to have it made. But then it's like, what's driving that? I do question that sometimes. Like, really ambitious people, I think that the regular individual, when you see someone who's like so successful and you recognize that they worked hard for everything they had, it does make you question, like, what drives you? Like, where do you get your ambition? How are you able to motivate yourself every single day? And so when Noisy says to Joey, I don't think you've ever been a child, something clicked for me. Because while Joey has everything, seemingly everything, from the outside looking in, it's almost like he's trying to escape the pain of having to grow up so fast. He went from boy to man in the blink of an eye. He never had room to play. He never had room to make mistakes that children should be allowed to enjoy his youth the way that children should be allowed to. And even though now he has the freedom to do that, it's almost like ingrained in him to keep working like a machine, to keep providing. I found that interview to be so powerful because as Joey was speaking, as he was detailing his career and his childhood and the come up and the struggle, like I found myself identifying with him. Like his experience nearly mirrored my own, especially when Noisy prompts him to open up about his relationship with his mother and what it was like for him as a young child growing up in a single parent household. I grew up in a single parent household myself. I grew up with my mother and my younger brother. My dad is in my life, but he lives in another state. And so as a consequence of that, of him being so physically far away, he wasn't as accessible, obviously, and as actively in my life as he could have been had he lived in the same state as me or if he were still with my mom. I do believe that people who grew up in a single parent household, I feel like a lot of us do kind of share a similar experience in which you kind of take on the role of your parents' partner and like your role as the child kind of diminishes at a certain point. Like, of course, like as a baby, as a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, like, of course, like my mom wasn't relying on me to be like, you know, her partner, you know, like I was a kid. Around the ages of like 12 and 13 was when I came to see myself as less of a child and more of an adult. Similarly to Joey's mom, like my mom, she was a single parent, right? So she had to work to pay the bills. There's only one source of income and she's that source. So she would work crazy hours and come home at like 8 or 9 p.m. and I'd only see her in the morning on my way to school. Sometimes, you know, I'd see her when she got home from work if I were still awake, but she'd usually be really tired. I remember feeling like I didn't want to burden her by going and speaking to her, like telling her about the issues I dealt with during the day and things like that, because she seemed so tired and stressed. So I just kind of kept to myself. I was like, you know, she just worked like a 12-hour day. Like me going over and like having a conversation with her about my day where I got to come home at 2 p.m. and just chill in the house, like that's not going to be helpful for her. So she probably just wants time to herself. And so I would kind of just stay locked away in my room. And I'm going to get into that in a little bit. But basically, like, I didn't really see my mom as much as I would have liked to. And so I kind of felt like in a way I was living alone. And then on top of that, I had my younger brother. So like I would pick him up after school, right? And that added on another layer of responsibility. And I know like as I'm saying this, a lot of you are like, yeah, but like you're just helping your parent out. And exactly, that's how I saw it too. And that's still how I see it. But when you take a step back and you look at like hierarchies within a family, there's the parental hierarchy and then there's the children. It's kind of like there are certain responsibilities that are assigned to each individual pertaining to wherever they are in the hierarchy. Being a 12-year-old, picking up my younger brother, you know, taking him home, making him a sandwich, helping him with his homework, those are more so parental responsibilities. But of course, you don't see it like that as a child. But like again, I'm not saying this is a bad thing and I'm not complaining about it, but this is just like me explaining my experience. So I would do that. And similarly to Joey, again, like I would find myself isolated. Like I literally felt like I was living alone. And so because I felt physically alone, I then felt alone emotionally. So like my mom, because she worked crazy hours and she was paying for everything, and we live in New York City, like it's expensive out here. Like for real guys, rent is no joke. Like I live in my own apartment right now and it is no joke. It's pricey. So imagine like paying for an apartment and then you have two kids that you have to feed, that you have to clothe, that you have to make sure they have a roof over their head and lights and hot water and all of this stuff, and you're not getting any help from the people you had the children with. That's a lot for one person to do, to take care of two human beings on your own, and you're just one person. That's a lot. And so that's why when my mom would come home, I began to feel like me going out and speaking to her, I began to feel like I was bothering her, because sometimes, you know, she'd be stressed out. A lot of times she would come home in a negative mood. And as you get older, you realize that that's just because of stress. Like when you are struggling financially or work is taking a psychological toll on you, whether because of like, you know, your work environment, or when you have two children to take care of and no help, like that's incredibly hard and stressful for anyone to go through. And it's amazing to me that like as a child, like at 12 and 13, I could see that in my mom. Like the inner child in me felt offended and felt like, oh, like you're my mom. Why are you yelling at me for like coming outside to just say hi to you? But then like my more mature, like adult mind was kind of like, well, she's just stressed out. And so the best way to make sure she's not stressed is by leaving her alone. You're adding to her stress when you go to her with your problems. You're adding to her stress when you're upset about something and you want to talk to her about it, because she already has so many things on her plate. So the best way you can help her, as well as avoid her lashing out at you, is to just keep to yourself. My mom had a lot on her plate. And as a child, you don't understand that because you haven't experienced that level of responsibility yet. The energy that it takes to survive in this world, you don't understand the things you have to go through, the sacrifices you have to make, the money you have to put down, the psychological toll it takes on an individual. Like when you're a child, because you haven't experienced that, you don't understand that. And that's why to me it amazes me that like at such a young age I was able to piece together the two of, okay, like my mom being upset and mad at me right now has nothing to do with me. Like she's just stressed about work, she's stressed about money. And like to me, like looking back on it, that was so mature of me, but that also kind of shows me that it's not like some inherent level of maturity that I had. I think it was more so like probably a defense mechanism, a way to ease the blow of like feeling like I didn't have anyone to go to. Like I couldn't go to like my mom for my emotional needs because she was playing the role of mom and dad. So it was easier to like say like, oh, well, you know, she's stressed out because of work and like I just have to suck it up. And I also think, so it could have been a trauma response, but I also think it was just like me actually being forced to grow up. The reality that I was experiencing, I personally don't believe that children should have to experience, but that's the reality so many of us have, right? Where how many of us have witnessed like our parents struggling financially and seen the toll that it takes? I don't care what anyone says, like money is important. because the world that we live in makes it important. It makes it a priority. And it's not a matter of materialism and superficiality. It's more a matter of survival. It wasn't until like I moved into my own place, really, that I came to understand the value of money, that I came to understand how having your funds drained just from like paying rent and bills and like paying for things you need to just survive and living off of the bare minimum, how important money is and the toll that it can take on a person. Like psychologically, you're stressed out because you're constantly trying to figure out where like when your next paycheck is coming and what you're gonna have to do with those funds. Like you're working, say you're working at a job you dislike, and the money that you made, you can barely save it because you have to pay to take care of yourself. That's difficult. And then on top of that, like depending on what your job is, it could be physically straining for you. Or what if you have like a health condition and you can't afford healthcare because you're not getting paid enough? Or maybe you are getting paid a decent amount, but just because of like rent and taxes or whatever, like you could maybe afford healthcare, but then you wouldn't have money to feed yourself. Like that reality went kicks in when you're in your 20s, not only when you're just living on your own, but I think that like Joey Badass, like him having to get a job at 17 and start working and paying bills, probably paying for his own phone bill, like paying the electric bill. Like I know that a lot of us, like especially if your parents are immigrants, if you're a person of color, like this is the norm for us. Like this is like a reality for us. And this, we normalize it because it's like, well, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. That's, you're taught that's what you're supposed to do. Like you are a child in this house and you need to contribute to the house that we all live in. We're a family. We're a unit. But I'm going to be real with you guys because I had to recognize this myself. Like that's not healthy because at the end of the day, they're is a family structure. You have your parents in the first hierarchy and then you have the kids. There are levels of responsibility that are allocated to each hierarchy, and those responsibilities are not supposed to be blurred. So like at 17 years old, you're not supposed to be paying like your electric bill or your gas bill. And I personally didn't have to do that, thankfully, but you know what I mean? And I understand like sometimes parents want you to like learn responsibility early, and that's good if it's like a teaching thing. Like, okay, like this is your phone is a privilege, so you have to work and pay for your phone bill. Like that's totally cool. But if you're like helping to pay to keep the lights on in the house at 17, that's not a responsibility thing. That's a survival thing. And you have to grow up and like pull yourself up by your bootstraps, really, and suck up whatever feelings you have, suck up whatever desires you have to enjoy your youth and take on this adult responsibility. And of course, like it eases the blow when you see that you're helping your parents because you love them. You want to take the stress off of them, and because you love these people, like they are your parents, they are your family, they created you, you love them. But that doesn't mean that the experience you're going through is fair. And like this wasn't always my mentality, but like as I've gotten older and I've seen different family dynamics, I've come to recognize that like my experience isn't like most people's experiences. Like, for example, if I were to compare what living in a single parent household versus a two parent household is like, it's incredibly different. And I'm not saying that one is better than the other, or that because a person may have grown up in a two parent household, that their experience is necessarily like a healthier one than my own. Absolutely not. I know that literally so many horrible things can happen regardless of what your family dynamic looks like. And it doesn't minimize anyone's trauma. But what I will say is like the one major difference is that having one parental figure versus two in your everyday life really does impact you as an individual. Like, and I'm only going to speak for myself. For me, not having my dad around like physically And again, these are all things that I'm realizing now in my 20s growing up. Like, I think subconsciously I had painful emotions and I would suppress them because I would feel guilty for wanting something different, for wanting maybe a different dynamic, or maybe wanting my dad to be more present in my life. Like, me wanting my dad present in my life more made me think, oh, well, do you not appreciate everything that your mom does for you, you know? And now as I've gotten older, I realize like the desires that I had and that I suppressed like are completely normal and healthy, and like any child should want that. Like, you should want to like see your parents together in a happy, healthy relationship, because that is so important in your development. And like, growing up without my dad physically present has not only like affected how I've grown into the person that I am. Like, I'm a fiercely independent person, and that's a result of, one, like growing up in a single parent household where my mom is just like, she's a badass. Like, she's the go-getter. She's ambitious. Like, anything that needs to be done, she's on top of it. She's responsible. She's intelligent. She is probably the hardest worker I've ever met. And I, because of like seeing the way that my mom was when it came to like work, and how she just stepped up and provided for us, took on both roles, both, you know, the mother and the father figure role in our house, like, being the daughter of someone like that, like, it makes you, it kind of like strips you of any victim mentality that you have. Like, I will never feel sorry for myself because my mom didn't give herself time to feel sorry for herself. Like, if I ever want to sit here and complain about anything, I'm like, okay, but your mom was working here and had two babies to take care of. You know, she was working like 12-hour shifts. You're complaining about an 8-hour shift in your cushy job? Nah. Having like a role model like that, like, definitely has influenced my work ethic. It's influenced, honestly, like how I date. Like, for example, like, I'm a really independent person and I would like a partner who can respect my level of independence. Like, I'm not only independent as far as like work, like, I'm independent in almost all aspects. Like, I will take myself on a date. I'm not afraid to like try something new by myself. I don't really care what people think of me most of the time. Like, if I want to do something, I'm going to go after it and I'm going to work hard at it and I'm going to excel at it. And like, having like my mom as that role model for me, just seeing her literally make miracles, you know, because I really feel like the journey of a single parent is so freaking hard, because you're not sacrificing for like one person. You're not sacrificing for yourself. You're not only sacrificing for your kids, like, you're sacrificing for another person who should be making sacrifices with you. You know what I mean? Like, that in itself is such a beautiful thing, and it's so hard though. And I don't think it's something that people should have to go through. Like, I really wish my mom didn't have to go through that. And it's not even for me, you know, like, not because of my needs or my desires of like having wanted two parents in my house, but more so because like, I think that it would have eased the burden. I don't want to call myself or my brother a burden, but I feel like it would have eased like her journey of being a parent. Like, sometimes I feel like she couldn't fully enjoy her experience as being a parent because she spent so much time working and sacrificing her own needs. Like, I don't care what anybody says, like, yeah, being a parent is the hardest job in the world, but the reason it's the hardest job in the world is because you have to become like the most selfless person ever. Like, you put the needs of another human above your own every single time. All of your decisions, you have to take a step back and think about someone else before you do something for yourself. It could be as little as like her not getting her nails done for like a year, to something as big as like needing a literal vacation, and then her vacation time is used to like take us to doctor's appointments and taking us back to school shopping. So not even having like vacation time for herself to just relax. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like that's so much for one person to take. And I'm so thankful to my mom. Like, I love my mom to death. And I feel like a lot of us can, I feel like I'm gonna cry. I feel like a lot of us can relate in that regard. Like, especially if you grew up in a single parent household, and you know, maybe you grew up in a single parent household and like your dad was your sole provider, like you just have this immense amount of respect and appreciation for your parent. And so I think that's why it's easy to fall into like the second parent in the household. Like you take on a more adult role, not really because your parent pressured you into it, because my mom never pressured me, but I felt like I needed to step up and be the next provider or be like her emotional support system and take on like a role that I really shouldn't have had to, or I really shouldn't have taken on, but and a role that I honestly wasn't ready to take on, but I did it anyway because that's my mom and she is stressed out. And as her child, as someone who loves her, like I'm going to do whatever I can to like make this easier for her, you know? And I think a lot of kids who grew up in a household like that, like you can understand what I'm saying. I'm not crying, but I swear my eyes are definitely getting watery. Like sitting here and talking about this, like I really was avoiding recording this, but I was like, you know what? Me sharing this is going to help someone. And that's all I want to do. So yeah, but like back to not having like a father figure in my life, the way my relationship with my dad is, it's kind of it's complicated, you know, and I know everyone says that, like, it's complicated. It's like, if you saw us together, like, you'd be like, oh, like, you would think, like, it's a picture-perfect relationship. Like, a daughter who loves her dad and a dad who's, like, supportive and loving and caring, and a daughter who, like, sees her dad as, like, their role model, like, their superstar, like, idolizes him. And, like, that was the dynamic of our relationship for a while growing up. I think that's also a consequence of him not physically being here and me not experiencing him on a daily basis and like being able to see like the humanness of him the way I could with my mom. When I say humanness, like I mean like humans are multifaceted, right? So like I would see my mom through her highs and her lows. Like I would see her when she was really, really happy and things were going great for her, and I would see her through some really horrible, difficult times in her life. And you see the reality of a human when you live with them. And with my dad, because I didn't live with him and I would only see him during the summer when we were going on vacations, in the winter when I would go for Christmas break, like I got the idealized version of him. Like I had an idea of him in my head. I had an idea of the life out there in my head. And like I think a part of that kind of eased the pain of him not physically being in my life, because it was like, well, you know, I'm here with my mom and she's going through stuff and it's hard and I have to take on this role. But at least like when I think about my dad, I can imagine being like a kid and going on vacations and like having a Christmas tree, like doing all these very like family oriented activities together. Like with my mom, we couldn't really do much. Like we didn't go on vacations or anything like that. And it wasn't because she didn't want to, like she either couldn't afford to or didn't have the time to take off of work to. That's why I say like money really is so important, and it really can destroy like a family dynamic, or it can like heavily impact a person. I'm not saying my family's fucked up, but I'm saying like it can like alter your dynamics in your life, like your relationships. It can change you as a person, having it or not having it, and then it can change your relationships as well. It's like a domino effect. And like we couldn't do a lot of family oriented things. Like spending time with my mom was like, okay, we're gonna go to the grocery store together, and like we're gonna go to dentist appointments together. And like of course I'm appreciative of all of that, but like when you're a kid and like you have this alternate reality where like my dad lives in another state and he has his family out there, like his wife and his stepkids, like they're living this other reality that like I secretly always wanted, like going there for Christmas and them having like this huge Christmas tree and like being able to go on vacations multiple times a year together. Like I remember just like loving that so much and like it being like a literal dream to me. And I would just like idealize it in my head, and I would love the idea of that so much. And then like as I got older, like it's only like now that I'm realizing that I was idealizing it to, and idealizing my dad to ease the blow of him not physically being here and like not actively being in my life. It was easier to be like, oh, well, yeah, my dad, he like lives far away. So that's the reason that he can't be here for this. And that's the reason we haven't spoken in X amount of time. And he has his own life. And like me trying to be understanding and like rationalizing things as a child, when like at the time I really should have just let myself feel like those emotions. Like I'm jealous that like, that like my stepbrother and stepsister get to see my dad more than I do, that they get to share these experiences with him and learn these lessons from him that I didn't get to experience. Like a lot of times when I would like talk to people that come from two parent households or whatever, or like people who just had their dads in their lives and had a somewhat healthy relationship with them, like they would say, yeah, like my dad, he taught me how to drive and I go fishing with my dad all the time. Like, you know, just like think like my dad teaches me all this like practical stuff, like all of these life lessons and stuff. And like, I can't say that for my dad. Like, does my dad give me advice and is he wise and can I go to him for anything? Absolutely. Like, I know my father loves me and he's a good man, but like actually like not having a parent physically present in your life to like discipline you or to guide you or for you to just kind of like witness them in action so they serve as a sort of model for you, it leaves like a kind of blank in your mind. My dad not actively being in my life, it's affected like how I perceive love. And it's really like, and I hate to say it, but yeah, like your girl got daddy issues. Like my relationship with my dad has affected like the partners that I choose, the type of men I'm attracted to. Like, for example, my dad wasn't physically here, right? So I would get comfortable with guys who I didn't have to physically see all the time. Like just FaceTiming you was enough for me to feel cared for, if that makes sense. Or like on another extreme, my dad not being there and me not feeling a sense of like stability or security in my relationship with my father makes me want guys who make me feel secure and loved and cared for and show me that consistently every single day, who show me security in different ways, whether it be like maybe paying for my food once in a while, like talking to me on a daily basis, making time to see me on a daily basis or as frequently as possible. Like those are qualities I look for in men because I didn't have that growing up kind of without my dad. And on top of that, like not seeing like what a healthy relationship looks like not having my dad in my house, I didn't know, and I still am trying to figure out what a healthy relationship is between a man and a woman. Like, I never really got to witness that. And so I find myself like when I'm dating, like not knowing what are the right qualities to look for in a person. My idea of what love is like kind of skewed. And I know everyone's idea of love is different and you can say that love is subjective, but I don't believe it. I believe that love is like the purest thing in this world. There is such thing as like pure, untouched love. Love is embodied through like empathy and compassion, consideration, loyalty. Like these are things that you can't argue about. Like they're just true. And I feel like people say like, oh, well, I grew up in an abusive household. So like my idea of love is like being like hit in the face. And I would hate to be that person that's like, oh, your idea of love is wrong. But like, I feel like in a way, yeah, I can say that. Like for me, my idea of love was like having someone who just like was available when I needed them to be available. Like not someone that consistently showed up for me or was there for me when I really needed them. When it came down to it, I would just choose guys who, oh, I could like, we have good conversation and he gives me my space. Cool. When it's like what I really needed, and to me now what like love really is someone that like makes you a priority every single day, like someone that chooses you every single day, who makes the time to make sure you're okay, who will drop anything to come be with you when you need them. So it's like I don't think love is subjective in that regard. So that's why I say, like, my idea of what love is and what I always thought it was growing up, it's changed so much, because I personally have never witnessed a healthy relationship, because I never saw it. I didn't get that two-parent household like dynamic, or even a healthy one. So that definitely has influenced me in a lot of ways. Even though, like, say your dad calls you here and there, like, if that person's not physically there and they're not making the sacrifices, like, that you see your other parent make, like, for me, like, I got to watch my mom struggle for us. The level of love and appreciation I have for that woman, it won't, like, there's no one on this earth I love more than my mom. Like, no one can top the love I have for my mom. Like, because you see how much sacrifice goes into being a parent. See, like, that's true love. Like, the amount of sacrifice my mommy, I love you, mom, I know you're listening, has made for me, like, no one can top that. Like, that's real love. Like, and when your parent, your other parent, is not in your life like that, or not in your life at all, your inner child, you feel like a piece of you is missing. Like, you, even though you have one parent who's like going hard for you, right, and you love them to death, it's this feeling of like still not being enough for your other parent. Because it's like, yeah, I love you, mom, but you weren't the only one who created me. Like, what about him? There's just like a kind of hole in your heart, you know? I'm saying all of this, and I hope you guys aren't thinking I'm like coming from my parents. Like, I'm not. It's just like, as I've gotten older and I've actually had time to be with myself, a lot has come out during this time where, like, I will get irrationally angry at things, and then I realize later on, after I journal or talk about it with a friend, that it was so much deeper than, oh, this guy never texted me back. It was more like, oh, I felt undeserving, and like, he didn't value me, because my version of love is consistency, because my dad never gave me consistency. So I'm not mad at him. I'm mad that I accepted that type of love. You understand? Like, I'm realizing that a lot of my issues now and the emotions I have that are surfacing stem from another part of myself that I never addressed because it felt too painful. I grew up too fast because I wanted to help my mom. And I think a lot of us do that. Like, when you see your parents going through very human things, like, you see your mom or your dad stressed out, whether it be because of finances or because of their health, or maybe like they're experiencing issues at work, or maybe like their parent is going through some health issues or whatever the case may be. Like, when your parent is in pain, or they're hurting, and they're like taking it out on you, or not even taking it out on you, maybe there's a visible or a noticeable shift in your parent's behavior, and it's impacting your relationship with them. Like, I think you just want to help them, like, as children, especially when you're a child. Like, you internalize pretty much everything. Like, innately as children, we feel this desire to protect our parents, and we also have a tendency to internalize, like, our external circumstances. Like, when you're a kid, you don't think that, oh, mommy's stressed out because of work. You think, oh, mommy's stressed because of me. That's hard, because when you have that ideology, that mentality, like, you begin to see yourself as like a burden of some sort. And the same can be said for like kids of divorce. Like, so many kids, if the divorce isn't explained to them by their parents, like, a lot of kids will internalize that and think it's their fault and grow up feeling like they're the cause of their broken down family. And like, that really affects people. So many kids of divorce develop anxiety, depression, and other disorders because they blame themselves for splitting up their family. And this sort of guilt can be cataclysmic for the child as they embark on their journey into adolescence and adulthood. One of the most powerful statements I've ever been told is, "You did the best you could with what you had at the time." My friend said this to me once when I was just like beating myself up about something. Like, there was a lot going on in my family life, and I have this tendency to like internalize everything and blame myself for whatever my mom or my dad might be going through, like I'll blame myself for not being able to help them and to change their circumstances because I love them so much. And I would tell myself, like, it's just because I love them so much as their child, I should feel this way. And then my friends are like, well, it's more than that. It's also like, because you had to take on adult responsibility, you feel like it's your responsibility to be their partner and take on their issues and help them through their issues, when it's not. Like, at the end of the day, no matter how old you are their child. Like, you are the child. So when my friend was like, you did the best you could with what you had at the time, and you're currently doing the best you can with what you have right now, it was such a freeing, like, moment for me, because like it gave me permission to forgive myself for not being the perfect daughter, for not being the perfect partner or student or whatever roles I've taken on at different points in my life. And like removing this regret of what or who I should have been, and accepting the reality of the situation, like the reality that I had to figure a lot of things out on my own, and that I can't blame myself for not doing it in the most healthy and beneficial way because I didn't know any better. Like, all I knew growing up was instincts, because I felt afraid to ask my mom for things, and I didn't feel close enough to my dad to ask him for help when I was dealing with things. Like, everything I've learned in my life, like, of course, my parents have guided me when I really, really, really needed them. But like a lot of the things I've experienced in my life, it was just through me experiencing it and figuring it out on my own, or like with my best friend. Like, a lot of things that I've been through, my parents will never know, because I've always felt like an adult and I felt like I had to handle that stuff on my own. I think that even if you're someone who's like very calculated with the choices that you make and you try to rationalize everything, like, I think that to some degree, it doesn't make you immune from making harmful mistakes that seem harmless at the time. And so, like, I had to get to a point where, like, I forgive myself for not being, like, what I thought I should have been, because I realized that my family dynamic wasn't perfect. So how could I expect myself to be perfect? There's only so much we can control in our lives, and like I can't control the fate of like my mom or my dad. I can't, like, my family, like, that happened to me. Like, I am not the cause of what happened, like, in my family and the dynamics I experienced, you know. And I think like a lot of us walk around with this sense of guilt or shame, or like this feeling of like obligation, like you want to make your parents proud and you never want them to be disappointed in you. And that can dictate like the way you behave. It can dictate how you think, the jobs you choose, like the schools you go to, like just the choices you make in your life, because you feel like as the child, like you owe your parents something for giving you life. And like, you don't, because at the end of the day, like, I think your parent, like, if they really love you, love is just wanting another person to be happy. So now I ask myself, like, how can I get to a point where, like, I forgive my parents? And honestly, I have forgiven my parents, and it's less about forgiveness, honestly, because you can nitpick the things your parents have done, you know, like their choices and how they affected you and whatnot. But at the end of the day, like, they're humans just like you. And I think the beautiful thing about growing up is that you realize that, like, your parents are just as human as you are. Like, my mom had me at a young age. Like, she had me at 24. I'm 23. I cannot imagine having a child at this age. Like, I am still a child myself. I do not have anything even remotely together. And I'm talking like mentally to like finances. Like, I do not have anything together. Like, I would not be well equipped to bring a child into this world. My experience in my 20s so far has just been this insane learning curve. And it's like I learn something new about myself and the world every single day, honestly, in every single moment. And so it's like I do not feel like I am well-rounded enough to bring a child into this world. And my mom had to sacrifice her youth and kind of her future in a way when she had me. And like, if when I put myself in her shoes and I think about the fact that like at 24, she had a baby, she had a human being. Like, she was in school. She couldn't do it anymore. She had to get a full-time job and she had to find a place to live and all of these things while being pregnant with a baby. Like, I don't know what I would do. I personally do not think that I could handle that, but my mom did. So it's like, when you're so young and you have to have a kid this young and you're still a kid yourself, like, of course you're not going to do it perfectly. The way that like our parents, we may perceive their mistakes to be like so terrible, you have to understand that like their parents probably made mistakes like that that made them think that the mistakes they made were the right decisions. Like, the relationship between my mom and like her parents, like, that strained, you know? I don't know if my mom really witnessed a super healthy familial relationship or romantic relationship in her life. And so it's like, I can't judge her for the choices that she's made or things that she's done, because I know that everything she's done for me and my brother has been out of love and out of her doing the best she could with what she had, not just what she had material wise, but like mentally, spiritually, and based off of her experiences, her perception of love and what it means to care for another human being. And the same goes for my dad. Like, the relationship with his parents, like, my dad was super close to his mom, but not the closest with his dad. And so that probably, the way he fathers me, that was impacted by his relationship with his own father. Like, everyone in this life is going through their own journey. And no matter how much you love someone, you are always capable of hurting them. And it stings a lot more when, like, the pain, like, when you get hurt by a parent, because as a child, you believe, and like, also like, society reinforces this idea that like, parents are supposed to protect their children from everything. Like, you are their provider, you are their world. Like, when you get older and you begin to see the humanity that exists within your parents, meaning you recognize that they are flawed, that they are prone to fallacy just as much as the next person, your ideal version of them like kind of crumbles, and sometimes it can be disappointing. But it also makes you love them all the more, because I think like, as I've gotten older personally, like, I'm realizing how hard life really is, like how difficult it can be to like remain happy and find peace in a world like this, where you constantly have to like be on your toes and make split second decisions, and there's no one really there to like guide you. I think like, that's hard enough in itself. Recognizing that my parents also went through this same journey, but they chose to have me. They chose to still like make sacrifices for my well-being. Like, right now I'm in a very selfish point in my life, which is another reason I cannot see myself having a kid within the next 5 years. Like, I'm selfish right now. I do what I want when I want. I don't have any responsibility other than taking care of myself, and I'm thankful for that. But like, at 24, my mom had a child. And so her whole world changed. She couldn't go out and party anymore. She couldn't go out on dates. She was at home feeding me. She was looking for jobs to be able to feed me. That, like, that's insane to me. And it's like, no matter what, I cannot like ever look at my parent, no matter what decisions they made that at the time may have hurt me or may have scarred me, and think to myself like, oh, this is a bad person, or like, I hate this person, or they were a bad parent, because we're all human and we're just doing the best that we can. Humans are messed up. We are all messed up. And for you to put your parent on a pedestal is a normal thing. But at some point, like, as you get older, you have to take them off that pedestal. That's what I feel like real love is. Like, when you see a person for their humanity, You see a person for their mistakes and their fuck ups and you love them anyway. That's love. Like, your parents saw you through a lot of your mistakes, and maybe they didn't handle it the right way. Maybe you got yelled at when you should have been held. Maybe they didn't show up for you when you really needed them. Maybe they didn't realize you were suffering because they were so focused on their own issues in their head and trying to pay the bills and keep a roof over your head. Like, but understand, like, we're human and we make mistakes, but we're all capable of change too. Like, the mistakes they made, like, they see how it affects you, just like how you are seeing that the mistakes they made are a consequence of mistakes their parents made. It's a consequence of how they were brought up. It's a consequence of how they were taught to handle things. So it may not have been the healthiest, but they were just doing the best they could. When it comes to forgiving your parents, like, the first thing for me was realizing there were basic needs that I had as a child that, like, weren't met, like, mentally or maybe more so emotionally for me personally. And, like, I used to think to myself, like, oh, I'm just complaining, like, you're being so ungrateful, like, how could you think this way about your mom or your dad, like, they brought you into this world. And I think that literally detaching from that mentality of, like, this is how I should feel, and just letting yourself feel whatever emotions come up, like, yeah, like, I'm fucking mad my dad wasn't around more, I'm fucking mad that, like, my mom had to work all the time, like, acknowledge the raw selfish feelings, because kids are selfish. Like, kids do not think about anyone but themselves. Like, they think the world revolves around them, and if you, like, suppress those feelings because you were forced to grow up too quickly, like, those selfish feelings are going to come out in different ways. It might come out in your relationships with your friends or your romantic relationships, because you never got to express it back then. So for me, like, whenever I feel, like, angry or I want to just, like, curse or, like, say something bad about my parent, or I think or I reflect on a situation that could have been handled differently, I let myself say it and I let myself feel it and I write it out. And then after I get that raw emotion out, that very human, healthy emotion out, then I go back and I'm like, okay, well, now I can empathize with them. Now I can say, okay, but, like, this is what I learned from that experience. But you have to let, like, the hard shit out first. I think it's important to, like, allow yourself to be the child that you never got to be. Give yourself the basic things that you needed that you didn't get, the things that you craved that you never received. Love in all forms, whether it be, like, feeding yourself really healthy, nourishing foods, or becoming hyper aware of what you like and what you dislike. Like, pay attention to your psychological and your physical responses to things. Practice empathy towards yourself. You know, you have to destigmatize your fears of vulnerability and intimacy. You have to let yourself cry. You have to let yourself have difficult conversations with your parents. You're not complaining and you're not a bad kid for telling your parent that something that they did hurt you. If they love you, their intention wasn't to hurt you. And through those conversations, you can see their perspective. I didn't realize that hurt you because growing up, my parents used to do this, so I thought that was the right way to raise you. And then you're like, oh. Those conversations are amazing and so eye-opening. And through listening to my mom talk about her childhood and my dad as well, like, it gave me a broader scope to look at them through. It opened my eyes to a lot of things about them and opened my eyes to their reality. And then I can see why they made the choices they made with me. And then when you build that level playing field, you can't hate someone you understand. You just can't. I think the next step for me was, like, removing guilt from choosing myself. Like, as someone that did grow up really quickly, like, I did, like, sacrifice a lot. Like, I did, like, choose my family over myself a lot and, like, my own happiness. And now that I am in my own space and stuff, like, I do have the power and the control to not do that as much. Like, I can actually be the kid that I always wanted to be. I can set boundaries you know, between myself and my parents, certain things that I may not want to be a part of, I can voice that now. And whereas before I used to feel guilty for those things because I felt like, oh, well, like I'm my mom's partner or like, you know, whatever the case may be. Now it's like, actually, like, this is what's going to make me happy. And I know that my parent wants me to be happy. And it shouldn't be a problem when I voice these concerns to them. And like, even if it is, that's not on you, you know? Like, I'm thankful that I have a mom that I could tell her, like, hey, like, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Like, I need my space for this or whatever. And she will respect my boundaries because she understands that I'm not saying it like from a place of anger or like malice or I'm or trying to hurt her feelings. It's more from a place of like self-preservation. And I'm really thankful to have parents like that. Like, I really am. My dad's the same way. And lastly, forgiving yourself. So like, you'll never be able to forgive other people until you're able to forgive yourself. Forgiving myself has taken a lot of time. It's taken a lot of patience, and there are still so many things that I want to forgive myself for. But like, being able to express like empathy, compassion, patience, and love towards myself has helped me give that fully and purely to other people, especially my parents. Like, I've learned to give myself room to make mistakes, and so when I reflect and I think about the mistakes that my parents made, it's easier for me to give them that same level of empathy and compassion. If there's anyone in your life, parent or not, that you feel wronged by or that deeply hurt you, like, I think you should address it with them. If they really love you, you find a way to make it work. And family dynamics, like, it's always going to be difficult. Like, the conflict that exists within these relationships, it's always going to be difficult. My family, honestly, like, my relationship with my family, that's the only thing that can break me, to be honest. Like, I've been through a lot in my life, but the only thing that really triggers me, like, my Achilles heel, is my relationship with my family. You can be like the most outgoing, outspoken person, but then like, there's that one person in your family, like, they just walk into a room and like, you shut down. Like, everyone has someone like that in their life. And I think that a large part of healing is reclaiming your power. And the best way to do that is through acknowledging your pain and then communicating it. It's not easy, but it's worth it. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to live your life with a clean slate. You know, you deserve to be able to be open and honest with the people in your life, the people that you love. The truth will always be more powerful than anything. And it's easier said than done, because I know some people, like, your parent maybe get really defensive, like, especially like growing up in a West Indian household. Like, I get it. Like, you tell your parent they were wrong about something and they're like, I'm the parent, you're the child, watch your mouth. But I think, like, as you get older and you just become more vocal about your feelings, like, your parents, regardless of if they just answer you like with a prideful response or they don't really give you the validation you're seeking, like, I hope you know that in the back of their head, they're thinking about what you said. And whether like they come around or not, like, just know that you weren't wrong for expressing how you felt, because it came from a place of like love and wanting to have your feelings validated by people that love you. And you deserve that peace. You deserve to feel loved by the people in your life, the people that brought you into this world. You deserve that. And if they can't give that to you, if they don't want to give that to you, that's not on you. That is not on you. You know what you deserve. I am officially done rambling. Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode. I appreciate you so much. Be sure to subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on, drop a rating and a review. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, so many different platforms, honestly. And all of the platforms that we are available on will be linked down below. Thank you guys again for listening. I appreciate you. Remember to download the Anchor app if you want to start your own podcast. It's a great app, super helpful for me. Free, simple, very straight to the point, and everyone has a podcast these days. So if you want to make an impact with your voice, just do it. I did it and I do not regret my decision one bit. So yeah, I love you guys so, so, so much. You will hear from me in next week's episode. Bye. We'll be right back.